I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Welcome to Side Hustlers. This is the podcast that talks to people following a passion outside of their day job. I'm your host from iHeartRadio, Carla Marie, and this podcast kind of is my own side hustle at this point. My day job is hosting my own morning show, The Carla Marie and Anthony Show, based in Seattle on 106.1 KISS FM. You can listen to it from anywhere in the whole world on our free iHeartRadio app. This week's guest is Danny. He is the creator of National Park Geek. And if you know anything about me, I am a National Park Geek, so I am geeking out. Danny started this side hustle because he also had a love for national parks. And now it's gone from him selling a few t-shirts online to actually being sold in national parks.
For a lot of people, you know, why are you waiting?
You know what you want to do.
This is something you want to do. Get off your butt and do it.
I'm a hustler, side hustler.
Do it.
I'm a hustler, side hustler.
Do it.
I'm a hustler, side hustler. Come on, ask about me.
Yo, yo. It's the Side Hustlers Podcast with Carla Marie.
So I'm definitely going to geek out in this episode, and pun kind of intended. I've got Danny from National Park Geek here. Hi, Danny.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Pleasure to be with you.
I see you've got your National Park Geek mug. Big fan of that.
Of course. Of course.
So National Park Geek is a... Is it gear for national park lovers? How would you describe what it is?
Well, yes, I have products that I sell that have the National Park Geek logo and those kind of things. But I think more than anything, it's a community to kind of share the park spirit, to let others know about what's going on in the park. So whether it be a big park or a small park, you know, I try to communicate as much as I can about all the other opportunities that are out there in the park system. There's 417 different park sites. So a lot to see.
And anyone who knows at least me from Instagram or from my morning show knows that I am a huge national parks fan and supporter. But for me, I'd say that's kind of new. That's about 4 years at this point since I moved from New Jersey to Washington. Uh-huh. And that's when I really got to experience national parks. Where does your love for the national parks come from?
I think my first park was probably Fort McHenry, home of the Star Spangled Banner. That's where it started, I think, as a kid, right? And then being in the Boy Scouts and outdoor activities and... It's always been a part of my life to go experience parks for the nature or for the history. So the National Park Geek movement kind of grew out of that. a little bit over 4 years ago.
So you started National Park Geek in 2015. So between you being a kid to 2015, there was quite some time. So you did other things.
A couple years.
You did other things in between that time. And National Park Geek was your side hustle for a while. So what made you say, let me start this company?
I don't know, just kind of that passion urging, looking at and seeing other entrepreneurs and hearing their stories. And like I said, it was more of a, let me just start to share the spirit of the parks. My feeling is the more we care about these places, the more we're going to protect them. I think knowledge is important information. So people can go, hey, I care about these parks. They can talk to their legislature and they can go visit and they can support them through their nonprofits. And I think that's an important part of it all, was to really just kind of show all that's out there.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of funny. I think I found you guys on Instagram because someone who followed me had sent me the National Park Geek Instagram account. And then over the last year, I've had three different friends in three different parts of the country visit different parks or places, and they'll all mail me either a National Park Geek sticker or one of the patches. And I'm like, it's so cool that they're A, thinking of me, but finding your product, supporting you, supporting the parks, and sending it to me. And when we connected, I was like, this needs to happen. You need to be on this podcast because it makes sense. So what was the first product that you created for National Park Geek?
A sticker and a patch.
Sticker and a patch.
It was started with a sticker and a patch. And then I had some t-shirt designs available online. I'm also a designer. So, you know, again, it was another opportunity for me to get creative and get out on my own. So it was, you know, place of creative output. I love photography, so I could share my photos, I could share my designs. And it literally started with a sticker and a patch. And now it's basically, it's my full-time hustle at this point.
Yeah, and you have way more than a sticker and a patch now. Correct. Off the top of your head, know about how many products you have between men, women, everything?
It's a lot. I just added more yesterday for this week's Cyber Monday sale. Probably more than 100 at least.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, definitely. Easily, yeah.
That's incredible. So you said you had a design background. What was your full-time job when you started National Park Geek?
I was teaching college full-time, teaching graphic design.
Oh, okay, teaching graphic design. And then you found the time. Like, how did you find the time to do this?
It was like every entrepreneur, right? It was afternoons, evenings, free time. And I think when you find something you're passionate about, you tend to find the time to do it. But it was just knowing that, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm enjoying it. So it was just kind of making it happen. Luckily, it just kind of was in play and was starting to work. And my teaching position got eliminated.
Oh, wow.
For budgeting issues, and kind of went right into National Park Geeking.
So you said you're married and you have a 7-year-old now. But when you first started, your kid was much younger. You know, you're doing this. Was your wife like, really, you're going to start this right now?
No, because this has been a gradual thing. You know, I understand it was like, we're just doing something and we're being creative and we're getting ideas out there. Next thing you know, this has become a full-time thing. So it was never set out to be full-time. It just was set out to be a thing. And then it turned into type of thing, which is I'm happy about.
Well, yeah, of course. When did you know it was a thing? When did you know that National Park Geek was actually becoming a full-time job?
Probably about a year in, it was getting a little bit more. And then I started selling with park visitor centers, basically through the park nonprofits, February of 17.
Okay.
So, you know, I was like, wow, this could turn into something really quickly. And really within a year, it had.
So what was the first national park that you were able to get National Park Geek?
Saguaro down in Tucson.
So how did you get that? Like, how did that relationship happen? Did you just call them and be like, hey, I got some cool gear. You want to sell it? Like, how does that work?
We were on a family vacation and we were touring parks. That's what you do.
Yep.
So we were going through Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and it was a couple weeks. And every park we went to, I would pass out some stickers and say, hey, if you have something you're interested, let me know. And the manager of Saguaro liked it and got a hold of the buyer, and we talked and we got into parks. And it's just grown since then. You know, a lot of it has just been word of mouth. But we're selling now in more than 130 different park sites.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's amazing. I pinch myself every day.
Yeah, I mean, the thing you've loved as a kid, now you get to be a part of. It is pretty awesome.
Yes, and we're from Statue of Liberty to Guam. I mean, literally all across Pearl Harbor, the National Mall in D.C., Independence in D.C., up in your way. We're up at Olympic.
Cool.
Crater Lake. So it's just, you know, Zion Arches. It's just amazing, you know, and, you know, numerous battlefields and small historic sites. And it's an honor. Really.
The National Park Geek Instagram, which people should go check out. It's National Park Geek on Instagram. It's gorgeous. The pictures on there. And I love that you're actually showing, like, you do have product photos, but most of the pictures are of the actual parks.
Yes. And they're all user generated from the community.
That's amazing.
So they're hashtagging National Park Geek. I'm finding them. And then we're reposting to tell whatever the story is that day.
Was the name National Park Geek like, okay, duh, it's obviously this? Or was there something you threw around?
I was using that hashtag just because I was a National Park Geek.
Right.
And a friend said, that's kind of a cool hashtag, right? And I was like, yeah, you know, because I was just doing out my personal hashtag. And it was all these things that clicked. Someone said that. I went to a meetup at Joshua Tree. And, you know, I was like, wow, there's other people like me. It became an evolution, and here we are.
What were the things that you would recommend for someone who's got this idea, got this thing that they love, and they kind of want to turn it into a business? What was that like early on for you? Or what advice would you have for someone who wants to take that first step?
Do what you love. You know, find things that you're into. I believe if you're more into it, you're going to put more time into it.
It's
true. So find things that you enjoy and see how they can become your thing. Look, I have a little idea and it's kind of blown up. And there's a bazillion other little ideas out there. And we see it all around us, whether it be, you know, through TV shows, Shark Tank, that kind of thing, or just the internet, listening to your podcast. Just go do it and don't worry about it. You know, there's never a perfect time. You just have to do it. And if it doesn't work, you learn from it and you'll do something else.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people get scared and like, oh, I don't want to fail. But like you said, you learn from it.
What I know now, I didn't know 4 years ago. Yeah, I mean, I never expected it to be a business of this, you know, this size kind of thing. And it's, you know, there's obviously a lot more things that can happen. But every day you're learning and you're trying to figure it all out, whether it be illegal stuff and accounting stuff or how to put your website up on e-commerce or how to make the Instagram work. It's a learning process, but it's a fun time.
Well, going back from stickers and patches to now, do you at that time, it was just you, I'm assuming, mailing the stickers and patches out on your own?
Yes.
So where is National Park Geek now? Do you have employees? How does it all work?
For the most part, it's just myself and my wife helps and my daughter, she helps at times. And she does product development. She comes up with ideas. and I write them all down because a lot of them are very good ideas.
I'm sure.
At some point we'll be like, wow, that's brilliant. I'm going to make this someday. So we're still pretty small, pretty nimble. Trying to keep it that way is, you know, I don't want to say we're trying to keep it that way, but it is that way at this point.
Right.
And, you know, like everything else, we'll expand as we need to. Now that it's full time, it's much more manageable type of thing.
And I'm also obsessed with your official title, at least the title that was in your email, Chief Geek Ranger. Is that?
Wow, everybody needs a title.
I love it. I'm a big fan. You said to me that you are a member of 1% for the planet. I don't even know what that is. So explain that.
1% of a planet is a organization started by Yvonne Chouinard from Patagonia. Basically, where organizations pledge to give back 1% of all sales to environmental organizations. And they monitor, you submit documentation of your donations and your taxes and all that kind of stuff to them. They've raised tens, probably hundreds of millions of dollars at this point. And you get to pick your organization you want to donate to. So it could be a local park charity. It could be a organization that does, you know, takes care of beaches. And they're literally hundreds. At this point, I think there's thousands of charities that you can select from.
So what, do you switch it up or do you stick with one? What do you do?
I've consistently been going with the National Park Conservation Association and the National Park Foundation as big ones. But, you know, this year I did donations to Sequoia. I try to switch it up a little bit, but I always keep like the National Park Conservation Association there because they're acting on behalf of, you know, all the park sites throughout the country.
The national park community, it's pretty incredible once you get into it and start realizing that these people have the same love as you have. Has there been anything surprising for you as a business owner in that community since you've started?
I think the friendships that have come out of it. I'm friends with numerous, we call them geeks. I've met many. They're very supportive. And then they have their own little, like, friendships that have developed. So, you know, what started as a little meetup or just posting and sharing through Instagram has turned into physically meeting and going to parks or just going on vacation together. It's quite a really awesome community.
Have you keep mentioning, you know, that you've met people through National Park Geek. Have you done actual meetups for fans of National Park Geek?
Yes, we've done several in the past. Really, you know, as we were starting up, really pretty small, some Joshua Tree, Zion, and, you know, Saguaro. So it's something in the future I want to do more of, would be meetups or potentially activities like if photographic workshops or helping with cleanups and helping with parks, restore trails and those kind of things. So they're all on my radar and things I want to, again, now it's finding time to do those things.
Right,
so
I'm sure.
You know, it's like, so before it was like finding time to do A, now I've gotten A done, now I got to find time for B. And, you know, just that's, you know, the business where it just kind of keeps growing. But I don't want to lose that. I think that's an important part of the National Park Geek idea, is to build that community and give back and let other people know about, you know, things that they can do.
Yeah. And of course, if you get all those people into one place and it's a National Park Geek, you know, sponsored event, it's just, it's better, obviously, for the brand when you get to meet these people face to face and they get to, it always does well. But I've done a ton of cleanups here in Washington. And like you're saying, it's always great to get out there with like-minded people and do something good. And now that you have that community and that platform, that ability to tell people, hey, we're doing this and we're going to go do good here, and you can make that happen. That's incredible, being able to turn what you've done into something amazing. So I want to help with that whenever you're ready to do one in Washington, or I'll even come out somewhere warm and sunny. Right. I'll be there. No worries.
We'll work it out.
So the logo for National Park Geek, I love, because I'm a huge fan of park rangers. I was one for Halloween 2 years ago. And I actually, between my glasses and the ranger hat that I wore, I was the logo. I was. Uh-huh. I'll have to show you a picture. But was that the original logo that you wanted? Was that the first thing you thought of? And I'm assuming you designed it yourself.
Yeah, no, I did it myself. Again, it's a design just kind of evolved over time, right? I mean, it was, you know, a couple weeks of working on the design, and, you know, in this case, working on the logo. And yeah, that was it. It's been the same since it started in basically August of 15.
People, I'm sure, just love buying the actual shirt that just has the logo.
Yeah, that's definitely, they're the biggest sellers, just selling the logo shirts. Yes, definitely.
It's so cool. Like it's so simple, and it's so, anyone who loves national parks just gets it and wants it, and it's great.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously there's people that follow along and, you know, are a part of it, and then there are people just kind of stumble in, and, you know, likewise at the park stores, or people that are looking for it, but there's people just kind of like, hey, I'm a geek, you know, and they can relate to it. And I think that's why it's worked, because people can relate to it. There's, you know, there's the funness of it all. I think like I said, there's a lot more geeks out there than we ever would have thought. And it's
true.
Oh, I'm one too, right? And it's okay to be a geek, as they say.
You got to own it. You got to do it. Yes, and it's people of all ages too. Like you said, when you were a kid, you started going, or someone like me who didn't realize how great national parks were until their 20s. And then even people who are older. I mean, have you seen Grandma Joy, the road trip?
Yes. Grandma Joy is amazing. And I was, you know, following along with her before Grandma Joy became Grandma Joy and became world famous. I mean, here's somebody in her 80s that just started to go to parks. And then we've got, you know, obviously people are taking to the parks when their kids are babies, and, you know, doing junior ranger programs with little kids. And I still do junior ranger, and I do it with my daughter. It's amazing the diversity of them all, of everybody. Yes.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a great community to be a part of. Obviously, it's been amazing for you. You know, you found something that you loved and you've turned into a company. But was there any moment in, say, the last 4 years where there was, it could be a disaster moment, an oh crap moment, something that went wrong as a business owner that you've learned from?
Knocking on wood, there's been no major catastrophes. Obviously, there's learning, right? There's just learning things of, oh, I got to do it this way, or this will work better, or, you know, how do you figure out, you know, shipping, or, you know, I don't know, where do you get this from or that from? So I think the hardest part has been like making sure you do it right, but I guess not being afraid to. And at first, you like you buy a few stickers and it's $50, and now you buy stickers and you know you're buying hundreds of dollars at a time or more of stickers. So things go up because you're doing more. And luckily, everything is quote done okay, and you know I'm confident in what I do and as a designer, and you know, and I'll get feedback from some people. I'll like show them this, or give them the ideas, and it's okay to start small and build. You don't need to do a 10,000 units of something or, you know, make a million patches. Just do a couple. And, you know, that's the great thing about today's world is you can do that. You can, you know, do T-shirts on demand. You can get a few pins made. You can get a few stickers made. And it's not going to cost you a fortune if you're going to be, you know, selling those kind of products, to just go ahead and do it. You know, it's a very unique time where we have this and we have these communication devices, you know, such as your podcast or Instagram, or it's an incredible time, honestly. It really is. You know, we can go online and make an e-commerce site.
It's crazy.
I mean, you know, it's like, it's mind blowing. You're right. I mean, it totally is incredibly amazing what we have literally in our hands, our phones, that we can do. And, you know, with a little computer on the side, you can make a business. There's no time like this ever.
Well, and I'm assuming
in history.
Instagram must be a huge part of your business.
Totally,
now you've got
totally.
Over 330,000 Instagram followers.
Yes.
And you start, like, how did you build that? And do you find a lot of people coming from there and going and shopping?
Yeah, I think, my Instagram is the biggest push.
Wow.
You know, when I look at where are people coming from, Instagram is definitely it. But I knew all along Instagram was where I wanted to be. I knew just from its visual aspects that this is where I needed to build a community. So, yes, we have, you know, stuff gets put on Facebook or Twitter. We have trying to do more blog posts on the website. But Instagram has always been it. And, you know, it's still probably my favorite platform to work with.
So as we head into 2020, into a new year, do you, as the owner of a company, have actual, like, written down goals? This is what I want to do this year. Or is it just like, you know what, let's keep going?
It's more just keep going.
Cool.
You know, like we're doing trade show. This is it'll be our third year with an organization called the Public Lands Alliance, which kind of brings together the park associations. That'll be in D.C. this year. It kind of moves around. Next year, I think it's in Portland. So I belong to that association, and I'll have a little booth there to potentially make me new clients and meet old clients and existing clients. So yeah, that's definitely like one of those goals. I'm gonna, you know, how do I do it better? I get ready for the trade show. So there's goals like that, but nothing formalized. Like, oh, I need to do 30% more sales here or there. You know, it's like, I know there's things that I could be doing more of. I'm trying to do those, but I also don't want to lose the spirit of what is here. You know, I don't want to push product every day on my Instagram. You know, I probably should be pushing more, and I know that's a fault of mine. But I'm like, I just want to share the beautiful pictures and the beautiful sights, and I want to inspire like I'm inspired.
Right, and you get those people inspired, then they're going to want to support and show off that they are a national park geek. So I think it's a good plan.
And it's working. So it's like I don't need to beat them over the head to go buy a T-shirt. I mean, I have T-shirts, and yeah, you'll know I have T-shirts. And if you didn't know, well, hopefully you'll be a follower and you'll see that we do sell T-shirts. But I don't want to hit you over the head every day. You know, that I need to keep the community there.
Yeah, it's smart. You figured out what works, and the fact that you do have a community. Not every business or every industry has a community, especially like the national park system does. So it makes sense that you are just keeping the community alive and not, like you said, jamming products on everyone's throat, because everyone else is doing that anyway.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so then I want you to give me one last pitch, one last why someone should go support National Park Geek.
I want to pitch why you should support National Parks.
I'll take it.
Because if we don't support these places, they're going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. Whether it be a big, beautiful park like Yosemite or Yellowstone or the Grand Canyon, bits and pieces will slowly be taking, will go away. And so we have to protect these places and show that we love these places, and these are an important part of our heritage as a country. So whether it be the big parks or the small little, you know, battlefields or historic houses, and they tell the story of like Harriet Tubman. They tell the story of you know, women's rights and gay lesbian rights. And,
yeah.
You know, they still tell the story of the battles that we fought as a country. And these are important parts of our own country and our heritage. To me, that's important. And that's, I think, partly why I started National Park Geek, is to make sure people know these stories. And they don't just think of Yellowstone or Yosemite. They also think of, you know, places like the National Mall or Ford's mm-hmm. Theater or, you know, General Grant's Memorial or the Statue of Liberty. You know, these places all need care and protection. And that's why people should be a National Park Geek, so they can share those stories. With that support, these places will continue, and they need it. There's billions of dollars of backlog maintenance and repairs.
Oh, I know all about it.
You know, and it's like, you know, we need to do that. And if we spent all the money today to fix it, it's still not going to fix it forever. We have to continue that.
Yeah.
And if we don't continue, the house will continue to fall apart.
It's true.
So we need to keep the house fixed and add more money to make it a little bit nicer. And mm-hmm. but if we don't, it will go away.
You're right. I work closely with the Washington National Park Fund here, and I didn't realize how much money they as an organization have to raise, or how much money they do raise to help the Washington National Parks. And everyone just assumes, oh, it's government funded, they're fine. But they raise so much money as a private entity to help support them. And it's like you're saying, you know, there's ways to support. By just going to a park, you're supporting a park. You don't have to donate money. You don't have to, you know, go to a big event and spend all this money. But you, just by going to a park and being aware of just the knowledge, then, yeah, you are supporting a park. And that is probably one of the biggest things you can do. But, yeah, national parks aren't just going to run on their own. They need our help.
Yeah. And it's not, like you said, it's not just national. It's state parks.
Yeah.
And, yes, we're focused on national parks because it's big, it's nationwide, and all that. But every state has incredible parks,
mm-hmm.
state parks, local parks, and we need to support all of them. We need to have these places that we can go and get outside and explore nature and become one again. So, yes, supporting the parks, state, local, federal, are definitely, I think, incredibly important. If you're at a park, go to their visitor center.
Yes.
Buy a sticker. You don't buy my sticker. I don't care. Buy something, right? All of that helps. And people don't realize that, you know, these are nonprofit associations that are running these little visitor centers and taking care of things. And all that money, the proceeds, all that goes back into the parks. And they need it, whether it be trail maintenance or programs, junior ranger programs or hiking talks. They need these things. So it's these kind of items that will allow these places to exist.
Well, I agree with everything you just said. And listen, I've been preaching it on my Instagram all the time. I don't get to talk much about national parks on this podcast specifically. So I am selfishly glad that I got you on here
awesome.
To talk about this. And thank you so much. I want everyone to go support. It's nationalparkgeek.com. And then you can go to Instagram, National Park Geek. And then on Twitter, it's NP_geek. Did I get it all right?
You did. Thank you.
All right. Danny, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Get out there and support our parks. They are our country's greatest treasure. Even if you just go to one, I promise you'll go to more after that. But get out there, support the parks, and support Danny. It's nationalparkgeek.com, National Park Geek on Instagram. You'll see his pictures, fall in love. I guarantee you, you'll book a trip next year. Thank you so much for listening to Side Hustlers. I've got something cool coming up the next 3 weeks. I'm actually going to have best of moments from some of my favorite episodes this year. My producer, Houston, has been putting all the clips together, so shout out to him because I know it's not the easiest thing, but I'm excited for you to hear over the next 3 weeks some of the coolest moments of Side Hustlers this year. You can follow me on Instagram at @TheCarlaMarie. Always rate and review this podcast. That is a huge help. And until next week, keep hustling.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.